Evans, I understand you were court appointed.
I am.
We appreciate your taking the assignment and
Thank
fine
you.
Work for your client.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll move to the third case of the morning. It's the United States versus Donald Edwards. Mr. Biro, is it Biro? Biro?
Biro.
Biro. Okay.
May it please the court. My name is Charles Biro. I represent defendant Donald F. Edwards. Defendant Edwards is here today to appeal both the trial court's denial of his motion to suppress and the upward departure in his sentence under Booker. The Booker issue has largely been settled by this court's ruling in Palladino. And applying Palladino, we know that there's error and that it was plain. But from the record, we can't determine whether Edwards was prejudiced by this error. There's no indication at all that the district court would have given Mr. Edwards the same sentence had it known that the sentencing guidelines were advisory. Therefore, we believe Edwards qualifies to have his sentence reviewed under the limited remand described in Palladino to determine whether the court would have given the same sentence had it known the federal sentencing guidelines were advisory. Now, turning to the reasonable suspicion argument, we believe the district court erred when it denied Edwards' motion to suppress. Edwards was initially pulled over by Officer Balma for a traffic infraction. After the purpose for the original traffic stop ended, defendant continued to be detained. This detention can only continue if the officer had reasonable suspicion that criminal activity was afoot. It is clear from Officer Balma's testimony that he was acting on an inchoate hunch, which is insufficient to justify the defendant's continued detention. The factors that Officer Balma identified would capture too many innocent travelers and do not equate to reasonable suspicion. I think there's three key things to keep in mind here.
Well, before we go further than that, I just wanted to say I would agree with you completely if the only factors that were present in this case were that they were from a, quote, source state, which you rightly point out covers the entire country, and certainly places like Arizona, and that they're coming to a destination area, again, pretty sweeping, you know, out-of-state tags. When my elderly parents drive from Texas up to Illinois, I assume they would be pulled over, too, on that standard, and it's just completely too broad. But on the other hand, the government, on pages 26 and 27 of its brief, does a pretty nice job of teasing out all of the various points here that probably were coming to Officer Balma's attention in a very quick succession. But it's not just that it's Arizona. In fact, I would delete some of these things like Arizona. But the fact that his story to explain this drive was pretty crazy. He doesn't know where his children are. He's only planning on spending one night with them. He hasn't seen them for 15 years, and for some reason one night's going to do the job. That his account is, in fact, slightly different from the passenger's account. Not huge, but different. And the officer, in his subjective judgment, seems to think that these people are really much more nervous than the ordinary person who gets pulled over who's maybe annoyed because they're going to get a ticket because they didn't signal when they were changing lanes. So the officers are used to whatever the usual level of disturbance is, and this is more. So this is actually, even if we delete the things that I think are taken alone, not terribly probative, it's a pretty long list.
Well, I would say about this list, first off, the government has separated just general nervousness into about four or five separate points there. And then referring to a number of the other factors that you mentioned, I think the important thing to remember through here is that through Officer Balma's testimony, he emphasized the factor that you already immediately eliminated, the drug source area and the drug demand area. Regarding the facts of the trip, we have Officer Balma testifying that he did raise his suspicion to the extent it was a quick trip from Arizona to Joliet and back. A thing to remember about that was that Officer Balma never testified to hearing exactly how quick the return trip was. He makes there sort of seems to be this assumption that it was going to be a quick return trip, but there's no testimony from Officer Balma regarding that. And there's also no testimony from Officer Balma regarding the slight difference in the stories, the fact that he was going to be visiting his children for only one night. We hear, if you look at the testimony, that Officer Balma mentioned those things, but But these are very indicative of innocent travelers, and what we don't have is Officer Balma testifying and saying these are innocent factors that are indicative of that criminal activity is afoot.
But they are outlining a pretty odd trip, you know, from Arizona to Joliet and then maybe popping up to Haworth, Wisconsin, which is way up in the northern part of the state, and then back over to Iowa and back to Joliet. I mean, it's a kind of a strange trip.
It perhaps is a strange trip, but we don't have an indication from Officer Balma that this trip isn't something that an innocent traveler wouldn't do. We don't have any testimony from Officer Balma saying, look, it's common for drug couriers. This matches a drug courier's profile to have these odd trips with one-night stays in different places. We only have Officer Balma here testifying that that was what he heard. We don't have any sort of testimony from Officer Balma that, based on his training and experience as an officer, that these were innocent factors that did give rise to reasonable suspicion here. It's just not in the testimony.
All right. I mean, I understand your point on that. Let me ask you about a slightly different angle in this case. Once the stop is okay as long as it's a traffic stop. That's about the first 10 minutes of it. And then it gets extended by some additional amount of time. I think the government says it's 12 minutes, you know, but maybe, you know, 15 more minutes or something. Under this court's en banc decision in Childs and under the Supreme Court's recent cases, isn't that a pretty trivial, marginal extension of time? The court isn't saying that you've got to just snap things off at the second the traffic stop is over. It's a reasonableness standard, isn't it, under all the circumstances?
It is, and I believe looking at Childs, this is not reasonable. Looking at Childs, we have a case where the defendant was asked an additional question or two during the initial traffic stop, and this court ruled that that was sort of a de minimis extension of the traffic stop. What we have here is something completely different. We have the traffic stop ending. We have Officer Balma telling that Edwards was free to go, but then saying, I'm going to go ahead and call the canine unit. And then we have defendant Edwards here sitting for a long period of time, 10,
well,
12,
that's what I'm
15
saying.
Minutes.
Is that where long comes in? Obviously, Child says what happened there wasn't too long. And I suppose we could all agree that if he had poor Mr. Edwards sitting there for 5 hours, you know, that would definitely be too long. But, you know, where does it slip over into the unreasonableness in your view? Is it like 5 minutes or what is it?
Well, I think it's both time and circumstance. And under Childs, there was not another car that was called that they were waiting for. And I think that's a huge difference. And
why is that a difference that matters if the point is that you've been seized, as it were, for this additional length of time?
Well, I think it goes to what's reasonable. And to the extent that officers have to call other people to come in and to do other additional investigations, that's going to be unreasonable for them to have to wait based on this, based on what we see in Childs, which was just another question or two that delayed the defendant. Here we have, another officer coming, waiting 12, 15 minutes for the officer to arrive, and I think that's a very different situation from what was described in Childs.
As I understand your division here, at the point of and there's some dispute. Your client claims that he did not hand back the registration and driver's license when he said, you're free to leave. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's
and that the question then is, at that juncture, the officer says after he gave it back, he said, before, he said, can I search the car? And your client says something on the order of, I don't think so. And then what happened?
After that, the officer advised, and I believe advised is the word he uses in his testimony, that he was calling a canine unit to come and do a free sniff around the car.
Is the government saying that what he said, okay, or something, is that a consent or is that just sort of an acquiescence?
It was an acquiescence. The government's never argued that it was consent, and it's clearly from reading the testimony was an acquiescence. The officer specifically, the way he testifies, says, I asked for permission for to do the search of the car, but then I advised him that I was calling the dog. And at that point, under Fink, there was he was again seized, and this was not a consensual stop. I see my lights on. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay,
if you have any questions.
Michoko.
May it please the court. My name is John Mahochko. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney in the Central District of Illinois. And I'd like to just start off briefly with the limited remand issue. The government does concede that a limited remand is appropriate under Palladino in this case. The judge was sentencing the defendant under the assumption the guidelines were binding. We now know that they are not, and a Palladino remand is the appropriate thing to do so that the court can decide whether he would indeed impose the same sentence.
Mr. Mahochko, I mean, on the main point here, which is whether this was whether there was reasonable suspicion for the additional stop, I am very bothered by the government's reliance on things like someone's trip begins in Arizona or Texas or New Mexico or Florida or, you know, pretty much anywhere, because it's so general as to be distracting, and I don't know why this continues to be the case, especially for the kinds of drugs that we have in this case. This is another methamphetamine case. My gosh, I mean, methamphetamine could be in the Bahamas. I mean, it could be anywhere. It could be in northern Canada. It depends where you set up your meth lab.
That's true, Your Honor. I understand the court's concern. And first of all, I mean, there are the homegrown meth labs that out in the woods in rural Iowa and Illinois. There are also large meth labs in Mexico. Quite a bit of methamphetamine does come up from Mexico.
Well, he didn't know it was meth at that point, did he?
He didn't know at that point, Your Honor, no. What he did know is that the defendant was from Arizona. And it's
so
important.
So all people from Arizona are presumptively drug dealers?
Certainly not, Your Honor.
I hope all people from Texas aren't, although certainly Texas got a pretty big border with Mexico.
We certainly wouldn't go so far as to say that that Bama had reasonable suspicion to pull over on demand anyone with an Arizona tag. And that's what the importance of the Arbizu case and the other cases, recognizing that reasonable suspicion is something that needs to be evaluated under the totality of the circumstances. Look at everything that the officer knew at the time.
But, you know, that's true. But I think the point of your opponent is just 0 + 0 still equals 0. Now, I'm not saying by the time you get finished with the list you've set out on 26 and 27, we have 0 + 0. That's a different matter. But I'm just saying a factor that is just so broad may not even add into that totality of the circumstances inquiry.
I think it does add into it, Your Honor. And part of the reason, I think, is definitely some strange things going on when Bama pulls these people over. Part of reasonable suspicion is articulable suspicion that specific criminal activity is afoot. In this case, Bama did testify. There was testimony that the travel plans that they testified to did fit the courier of the travel plans of drug couriers.
Well, that's a different factor. I mean, I'm trying to be precise, and that seems to me something concrete, you know, that you could rely on. And if this is the kind of itinerary and time frame and stop pattern and whatever else goes into it, that's a factor. Maybe enough, maybe not. Obviously, we'll see. But
I'd reiterate, the government's not contending that that alone was enough to stop him.
Tell me this. How often down there do they pull cars over on the highway for changing lanes without giving a signal?
I don't know.
That's another sham.
There was no dispute that traffic violation took place in this case. I shouldn't say there was no dispute. There was definitely a dispute. The district court found that there was indeed a traffic violation.
Well, there was, but how many times did they pull him over? Just because he's got Arizona plates?
That's not in the record, Your Honor, that was the reason.
I mean, this
took place.
Santa Claus.
Or how often it happened.
Lucky I wasn't the defense attorney.
And the defense attorney argued that the violation hadn't taken place. The defendant testified. The court made a credibility determination that the defendant's view of the events was not credible. And those credibility determinations are reviewed by this court for clear error. So I don't think there's an issue about the initial traffic stop, and the defendant isn't contending that there wasn't probable cause to
conduct the stop. How about that detention question?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
How about that detention question when they call in that dog?
The government contends that was, at that point, when he was given his license, told he was free to go.
He's free to go even though they've called in the dog.
The dog had not been called in yet, Your Honor.
But there's a dispute of fact.
He called him, didn't he?
I'm sorry?
Didn't he say he was calling him?
After he gave him his license back, told him he was free to go, Officer Bauma asked him if he could search the vehicle. The defendant said, I'd rather you wouldn't. And Bauma said, that's fine, I'm going to call a drug dog.
But the district court does not resolve one way or the other this fact question that you're relying on, which is whether the license was returned. If that's a material fact, maybe we need to get a fact-finding on it.
The district court did not resolve that question, and the government doesn't need to rely on that for the reasonable suspicion inquiry. We're contending that he was held. He was not free to go at that point.
That's right.
And that detention was justified by reasonable suspicion under the totality of the circumstances.
What is the totality that they could hold him on? That he's from Arizona?
No, well, among other things, Your Honor, extremely nervous when the officer first pulls them over.
That's
even after advising him that he's only going to give him a warning ticket. Both the passenger and the defendant fail to make eye contact. They're fumbling, they're fidgety, they're moving around in the seats. The defendant's passenger is not, the officer can't even see the defendant's passenger initially, and then she sort of pops into view. So he's a little suspicious about what's going on in the car. When he brings the defendant back to a squad car and begins to ask him about his travel plans, that's when this bizarre story about, I planned the trip earlier in the week, I drove out to Joliet, we dropped someone off, now we're going to go to Clinton, Iowa to visit my kids. They don't know I'm coming, I don't know where they live, I haven't seen them in 15 years, all that. At this point, Bauma's antennas, I think, are further going up, that there's something going on here. And Bauma testified that as he asked the defendant questions, contrary to his experience with other traffic stop people, the nervousness level rises. Instead of being reduced, he understands he's not getting a ticket, he's not going to have to pay a fine, it's just going to be a warning. He becomes more nervous. He's unable to answer questions. He begins to pause before answering those.
So at the point where he, in your testimony, his testimony, is he returns the license and the registration, says you're free to leave. Then he says, can he search the car?
Yes.
And he says, I'd rather not. So that, apparently you're bifurcating this. That's
yes.
A new reasonable suspicion. Because he didn't let him search the car. Because all this other stuff preceded for you to leave. So
that's
because
correct.
He said he didn't want him to search the car, he said, well, I'm going to call on Viper, or whoever. I guess Viper is the third choice.
Viper, the drug dog, yes.
By the time, anyway, he's going to get the dog in there. So that's a new event then. Is that what you're saying?
At that point.
And it was a reasonable suspicion, I guess, because he said he didn't want him to search the car.
No, Your Honor, I'm not contending that.
Well, wait a minute. He's free to leave
He told him that he was free to go.
But then he intercepts that with, can I search the car?
That's correct.
Obviously, if he said yes, you don't need Viper. But if he said no, I assume the officer had it in his mind that if he says no, I'm going to call the dog.
I presume that's probably a fair inference. That wasn't in the record, but I think in light of everything that Bauma saw and heard from these defendants.
Then why is he free to leave?
I think that he may not have been free to leave.
Yeah, well.
He told him he was free to go. I don't know that he necessarily was.
That's the one thing that confuses me in this case.
And I don't think that we would want him to go at that point. With Bauma knowing what he knows, the question is, what do we want the officer to do? Do we want him to send this guy on his way, or do you want him to be able to investigate his suspicions in the least intrusive manner possible?
Free to leave means free to leave.
What we want the judge to do is to make a more complete record.
I understand the court's concern. I don't think the question of whether the license was handed back or not really comes into the reasonable suspicion inquiry. His detention was justified by the reasonable suspicion under the totality of the circumstances. When you add in, and I didn't get to it, but I know the court's familiar with the briefs, the contradicting stories of the passenger.
Those are all good.
The fact that the passenger is not driving, not getting a ticket, really ought not to have anything to worry about, but she's on the verge of crying. I mean, she's incredibly nervous, in Bauma's opinion. And
there
Bauma's
are
testimony.
People who are afraid of law enforcement.
I understand.
Realize that.
I do understand that, Your Honor. But I think under the totality of the circumstances, everything that Bauma knew at the time, he had reasonable suspicion to hold these people, to conduct the least intrusive investigation he could, which is to bring the drug dog there within 10 minutes, another 2 minutes to do the free air sniff. It's a 12-minute detention, which I submit is reasonable under the circumstances. there are no further questions, we ask that the district court's order be affirmed.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Machaco. I'm not pronouncing your name right. Machaco?
That's Machaco. I'm Charles Bureau.
I'm sorry. I'm Yeah, I still didn't get your name right, even though your name's a lot easier. I'm sorry. Anyway, I might follow up on that one issue.
Absolutely. It's the defendant's position that either way, either if Officer Ballmer retained the identification or if he gave it back, the bottom line is that it was a traffic stop that had been expanded, and that it was the government's burden to show that the officer had reasonable suspicion to continue the detention at that point. And as we've argued in our brief, we don't believe that the government did actually have reasonable suspicion to detain Edwards at this point.
Thank you.
We respectfully request that this court reverse the district court's denial of defendant's motion to dismiss or, in the alternative, grant limited remand for review of defendant's sentence.
Okay, thanks. This case will be taken under advisement. And you, too, were court-appointed, weren't you?
Yes.
We appreciate your accepting the assignment and for your work for your client. Thank you.